Welcome back. If you've just joined us, you're watching Stockwatch, and joining me in studio this evening are David Shapiro from Sassman Securities and Wayne McCurry from F&B Wealth and Investments. If you'd like to send us questions, please do. It is frenetic out there on the markets. So SMS us, stock in the question to 41392. You can email stockwatch at bdtv.co.za, or you can tweet us at BusinessDayTV using the hashtag Stockwatch. David, Wayne, good evening.
Thank you.
It doesn't feel as grim as it did yesterday, but it actually was pretty grim today. And in fact, where the Rand went to at one point today,
yeah,
what, 1570?
Yeah,
1570.
Just if you analyze the market with a Rand at 1540 or 1550, it's a huge benefit to miners. So you've got Assore up 12%, you know, Sibanye up 8%.
Some of the other Rand hedges didn't react as what you would expect.
No.
But although they did go up yesterday.
Naspers went down.
Yeah, well, Naspers is going down because Asia's down. And
I know, but I'm just
probably
saying there's more
reason
to it than
for
just the Rand
to go down.
It's not just Rand weakness here.
But the miners have kept this market pretty steady. Take that away and take some of the Rand hedges away. It's been pretty awful out there. Banks have been slaughtered. A lot of the retailers are coming down, and a lot of mid-cap
But remember, the banks went up 2 weeks ago.
Mm. Yeah. Yes.
And it's the first Rand is now where it was 2 weeks ago. Isn't it better or worse?
Mm. I mean, Wayne, as you were coming in, you were a vociferous. You're pumped up. You're saying
We must understand some things. I mean, everything, including global warming, has been blamed for our economic recession. Okay. And whatever you want to pick, anything. But understand, obviously, the land issue in South Africa doesn't help. Obviously, that's a negative. Obviously, there are 100 things we should have done better, could have done better, will hopefully do better into the future. But I'd like to make 2 points. The first point is, let's just say miraculously tomorrow, everything was sorted out in South Africa. We wouldn't go to 5% growth, simply because there is this global emerging market crisis happening all around us now. Secondly, when you look at what some people are blaming for this recession, you'd swear other emerging markets were thriving with strong currencies, with no inflation and low interest rates. They're not. They're being pummeled significantly worse than us. Yeah. So understand, this is not primarily a South African story. This is a global issue, primarily. We're not helping anything. But having said that, think about where we were a year ago. We got a new head of SARS. We got a new head of all the SOEs, new boards at all the SOEs. The nuclear deal is dead. Tom Moyane, as I said, Tom Moyane is gone. And there are a good couple of other things. The mining charter's gone. The petroleum bill's gone. A lot of good has actually happened. We can do a lot more, and we must do a lot more, and we've got to get more clarity on this land issue. But if you think about it in the light of South Africa today compared to a year ago, it is actually better.
Yeah.
There's no growth, though.
There's no growth.
There's always got to be a naysayer in the room.
You know, I looked at the growth over the last year, even with two quarters of contraction. And the first quarter was 2.6 and this 1.7. But even over the last year, growth is 0.5%. So you're unlikely to get anything above 1% for the year to 2019. That's the worry, is that the economic momentum is not there. And if you look at Western Cape, yes, we've got drought there. Manufacturing doesn't exist. There's a little bit of mining happening. So there's still worries about, what Wayne says. Yes, we're replacing these people, but you still need growth. You know, market activity.
Let's be unrealistically optimistic now.
Okay.
Let's just say miraculously again, tomorrow Donald Trump reverses his stance on trade wars and he welcomes all want to trade freely via the rules of the WTO. A lot of this emerging market crisis will literally disappear overnight. Eh?
Okay, well, because he is going to, we are going to find out the extent of the tariffs that he's going to slap on.
Yeah.
The problem is this is deeper than that. They're going to go for some time at each other before someone backs down, and that's a worry. And there's a concern that China will come off second best, and that's where it's translating into
Naspers
and so on, and also worries about demand for commodities and the stronger dollar. And this is also, the stronger dollar is probably what really triggered this off. Why? Because Argentina, Indonesia, Turkey have got high foreign debt.
Which is our saving grace.
We haven't got that.
We've got a lot of foreign investors, but we haven't got foreign debt.
We've got rand debt, but not foreign debt.
Yeah. Okay, well, getting onto the actual stocks. And a viewer says, I've watched the volatility in my first rand shares with some alarm. We started talking off about banks. Mm. What chance does Discovery's proposed bank have of doing something different? So I guess this person is maybe thinking of switching out of their first rand into Discovery.
Just, I mean, on this, on virtually the same subject, at the worst of the Zuma years, remember, first rand share price was 49 rand. In fact, I think it even went down to 42 rand. Okay, at 61, 62 now. So it is significantly better than what it was, you know, not that long ago last year. And, you know, maybe there's, in all, I suppose, in all disruptions and turmoil, there's opportunity. If these banking shares continue to sink and you don't think Donald Trump's going to pull the world into a massive trade war and multi-year recession, that probably represent value.
Yeah.
And you buy some.
Would you buy First Rand or would you buy Discovery?
Dave,
and David, I mean, you tweeted something very interesting today about the composition of Discovery's earnings and how just how negligible the international businesses are
in earnings terms.
In earnings terms, and yet how much effort is being put into them. And whether we're kind of deluding ourselves that this is going to pay off anytime soon.
Well, I have that kind of view. I look at, when I look at PSG and when I look at the Remgro Group as well, it's made up of really some big bulky businesses. And I always look, can the other businesses really change the cycle or really push the needle? And my answer is no. Like in PSG, it's Capitec and maybe Curo or something that contributes to the value. In Remgro, it's First Rand or the whole First Rand group and a bit of Mediclinic. Yeah. Everything else doesn't count. So when I looked through all of this, I thought 98% is South Africa. And whatever is made in the UK is offset by negative, what they call other stuff.
But the potential for the others to earn money is obviously what Discovery is going for.
Yes.
Well,
but then
how
do you
big
price
is that potential?
Well, I don't know.
I looked at Vitality.
That's why Discovery's trading at significant premium to their net asset value.
My worry is that might be a lot. I don't want to call it smoke and mirrors. That's unfair. But there might be a lot of
There's a lot of future
illusion.
In it.
You know, they're going to do it. I'm waiting to see that because when I looked at Vitality South Africa, it's 1% of their profits. And I said, hold on a sec. This is what everything's around. You know, Vitality. And yet, its contribution in actual rand terms is very small.
But let's come to the question, Discovery Bank.
Mm. Yeah.
Understand, to take on the big players here, you have got to have serious capital. Mm. And Discovery hasn't got that.
No.
So if you are truly going to take on the big players, they are going to have to come with
something.
A massive rights issue. That Discovery has got one asset that I think is envied by most players in this market. They have a loyal customer base. And their whole strategy for years now in South Africa has been to sell more and more product
to
a very loyal customer base.
Yeah. On which they have extraordinary data as a result of...
Correct, yeah. And they can do that, but to truly be competitive in this banking field, you need serious capital.
And they haven't got it.
And they haven't
because
got it.
If you looked at their cash flows...
Yeah,
that's why they don't pay dividends.
So
that was the whole point, is that all the money they're making is going to these other businesses.
And they have already reinvested it. There's no surplus capital there.
Yeah. Okay, so rather go for a bank
a cheaper bank
that's incumbent.
Because there's a lot of good news in the Discovery price already. Whether it's Ping Ang or whether it's the bank or whatever, there's a lot of good news already in the price.
Okay. Moving on to a millennial, they say, what's the panel's view on Long for Life and Vukile, and further as a millennial, what small to mid caps make sense to hold for the long term?
I don't think being a millennial should make any difference to your investment decisions.
Well,
except you've got
time. It doesn't imply that you've got time.
You've got time. Yeah, but if you've got time, buy a well-diversified, balanced portfolio with a lot of non-rand exposure, maybe not today, maybe wait a little bit, the rand could strengthen, believe it or not. And if you've got time, then that's what you should be doing. But I mean, Long for Life, I don't know if it's proven itself yet.
It's going to take a long time, a Long for Life. And the worry is that if you looked at the GDP numbers, household consumption is falling. It was negative. And that's a concern, that householders haven't got the money to go out and spend. And this is really where it's targeted. in some good businesses. I'm not questioning that.
Sorbet.
But you've got to grow there. These businesses have got to grow. So I think at the moment the climate is a little negative on the retail and consumer side.
But I mean, as with any investment, if you like the long for life and you like the story, buy some shares, but don't put all your money into it.
Yeah.
Put 5% in, put 10% in. You've got to have a diversified portfolio. It's the only thing that truly protects you over time.
And maybe 5%, and if you're a millennial, which suggests you've got lots of time ahead of you, then just forget about it.
Mm. Yeah.
Buy the shares and then hold them.
I mean, in my youth, when I was, I don't know what you call a person born in 1959, ancient, but, you know, in my youth and investments, I was all for taking the big punt, and I know the markets, and you know what's happening, and this share looks good, and why don't you put all your money into that share? It actually doesn't work. Mm-hmm. You've got to be diversified.
And the question on Vukile, so there's actually two questions on property stocks. So Vukile being a very retail-focused property stock. Also, we got a question on Twitter asking about appropriate entry dividend yield that is appropriate for local REITs, and then which would be the best of the following: Growthpoint, Redefine, Hyprop, or Investec Property Fund, and then let's add Vukile to that list.
Yeah. Okay, appropriate yield is probably something equating to the long bond yield. Mm. Maybe at most 1% lower than the long bond yield, but that's probably the most you would want to pay for a local property
stock. Your long
stock.
Bond yield at the moment?
9.
Okay, and are you getting any property stocks that have 8 or above percent?
Look, over time, that's probably the level. Mm. I mean, a year ago, these things were at 6, and we discussed this. Mm. We couldn't understand why these things were trading at 6 and the long bond was 9, or whatever it was. There was this unbelievably big valuation gap between property and long bonds. Mm. You know, maybe for a really good one, you could maybe push it to 7.
I'm a little worried about, don't ignore that we're in recession. You know, we can't just brush that aside.
No, every rental.
And it means that companies like Edgar's are under severe pressure. And when Edgar starts to renegotiate its deals.
Well, everyone's renegotiating at a lower rental. The so-called
so
rental reversion.
It's going to
all
hurt
negative.
Some of these companies.
Every time a rent comes up for review, it goes down in this type of environment. And you are lucky as a property company to show 4% growth in your distribution. Well, the 10% growth rates are gone.
I mean, look at Growthpoint, okay? Mm. And, you know, Growthpoint gives you, I think, a grace period now, you know, to entice people to stay or come into the property. But if we go to the question on which of the five
growth
or six shares,
well,
you've got Growthpoint, Redefine,
Investec
Property Fund, and then Vukile.
In fact, they've all done reasonably well, to be honest.
You can have all of them. You don't have to choose one. You can split them,
Look, and also a lot of people would say, no, the overseas properties are going to benefit these companies because of rand weakness. It's not, because all of the overseas properties are held with overseas debt. Mm-hmm. So there's no benefit to your net asset value. There is a benefit to your distribution coming back. But it doesn't enhance the NAV because it's an asset held with debt.
Yeah. Okay. And then there's a desperate viewer who has been asking questions on Ascender's health for the last 3 days. Please say something on Ascender's health. He writes. Can you?
No.
Wrong panel this evening. No. I'll have to save that for tomorrow night.
Yeah.
Wayne?
I really can't add value to that, unfortunately.
But we've had so many other disruptions. There have been so many other major stories. I really haven't looked at it.
Okay, I shall save that over to tomorrow night, and we'll leave it there for the moment. If you'd like to send questions, please do SMS us, email us, or tweet us, and we'll be back shortly. Welcome back. Let's have a look at what's happening to U.S. markets at the moment. Somewhat mixed. The Dow Jones is up 0.1%, but the Nasdaq off almost 1%, and the S&P 500 off 0.25%. Tech stocks in the firing line at the moment. And across the Atlantic, not a great day for the market there. We didn't have a great close either. Down 1.7%, just about in the top 40 index. And still with me in studio are David and Wayne.
The Nasdaq's worth speaking about because as we talk at the moment, I don't know whether it's still going on. You've got Google who didn't turn up, but you've got Facebook and Twitter who are being investigated by the Senate Committee.
This is only the start, Now, it might be specifically because of the Russian influence in there, but politicians do not fundamentally like the power that these organizations have to shape public opinion. Now, I don't think they've interfered in anything, but the potential is there, and politicians will worry about this, that they could favor a certain political slant, favor a certain, and just alter the way things are reported and what comes up at trending. Politicians fundamentally don't like this, and this is only the start of a continuing interference in the social
media. You worry
media.
About regulation, but the point but I want to make as well is that these senators are well prepared. They have a number of aides and people who prepare the questioning before they even get in. And not only that, but if you look at Sheryl Sandberg and how well she's prepared as well.
Because I've been dying to talk about Marcus Jess's testimony. And I mean, I felt like I was watching a white Afrikaans Jacob Zuma who just...
Denies everything.
It's nothing is his fault. But the question was...
So the fall of grace of this company from its $200 billion to wherever it is now, no one falls. It should never have happened.
I mean, it's not really a question, but it says today's parliamentary hearings were interesting. So all MJ can say it wasn't SNH, it was the Germans and the European partners of this Andreas Seifert. I really enjoyed the part where Marcus Jester says he's never sold a stein off share. And my question is, with the class action suits getting traction, when will he be charged with fraud? Well, that is anyone's guess.
Anyone's guess, because he kept saying, I didn't want this new investigation, and when the board insisted on this new investigation, I resigned.
Yes.
And he says, if you read between the lines and listen a bit, he says, I'm not saying anything until this investigation comes out.
But, I mean, you actually felt you were in a bit of a parallel universe today where you thought, well, clearly there aren't any holes in the accounts. It was all the... I mean, he said he specifically did not blame Deloitte and then proceeded to do exactly that.
Yeah.
And so if
But everyone's denying responsibility. Everyone associated with Steinhoff is denying responsibility. But the report will eventually come out. And as I said, 10 years down the track, we'll still be, if David and I are still alive, we'll still be talking about Steinhoff and the court cases and the suing. But every single person, two things, every single person, senior person at Steinhoff is going to be implicated somehow. No one's going to come out smelling of roses. It doesn't matter whether you were independent or executive, no one's going to come. But so far, everyone's a saint.
Extraordinary.
Well, it's going to be a wonderful subject for a book.
Many books.
Well, Rob Rose is writing absolute cracker, and I wish he had been there in the parliamentary hearings doing some of the questioning, because I do think they were
somewhat... Remember the Kebble saga? You saw what came out? That was very, very difficult to understand. Barry Sargent, the late Barry Sargent's book and that. But what did come out was an absolute den of iniquity. I mean, it was a...
Sure Steinhoff shares up 5% today, so clearly there's some diehard
Steinhoff believers. Really matter, it's up 5%.
There are people buying empty in at these levels as well, you know, everyone piling in and trying to find the bottom of the Just leave these things alone.
Oh, we'll get on to MTN, but there was also a question saying, should I sell my JD.com shares and take a bit of a loss, or should I hold?
On the CEO being arrested.
CEO has been...
he's a clever man.
Charged,
he's a smart
I think,
man.
With rape charges. So this is an international company, JD.com. I always get confused whether it's a
competitor to Alibaba.
Yes, okay.
So
it's not your uncle in the furniture business.
Tencent has a small stake in it, but it's nowhere near the size, but it's still a very influential company. Yeah.
And so what would you do if your CEO is implicated in rape charges?
In theory, a company's bigger than its CEO. In theory.
And you don't know whether this is going to stick or what. And he's doing his doctorate in Minnesota somewhere. And honestly, this was an encounter with the lady. We don't know the fact. But the fact that he's back where he is, they let him off pretty easily.
So okay.
Who knows?
Who knows? Now that David has sold his house, if he could choose 4 unit trusts to invest his funds in, what would they be?
I tell you where I've been very successful in unit trusts for clients here. We bought the NASDAQ ETF and we bought the US ETF. So these might not be, ETFs? So those are two that we've been very, very successful with. I don't know what I would add to that, maybe a European one. Would I buy the local local one, I don't know. I'm look, still a bit nervous on look, South Africa.
Who knows where the rand's going to go? It could be at 18 tomorrow morning. But what we do know is every time the rand hits a panic and collapses, a few things happen. First of all, every South African panics and then severely regrets it in the years to come. We also know that eventually, it might be years, it might be months, who knows, the rand does come back to its fair value territory.
Yeah.
And fair value is, pick a number, 14, 13, between 13 and 14 is fair value. And it will come back to some level like that into the future. You don't know when. So the point is, don't panic when these things happen. You regret it later.
I don't buy the NASDAQ and I don't buy the S&P for panic. I buy them because they've got better quality companies within them.
I'm not sure whether you'd buy them at... you know, 20 to the pound or 16 to the rand.
But I do think when you're the voice of reason in this, and it has been a consistent voice, and it helps me not panic. And in fact, there is a question asking, what is the panel's view on the rand? Is it oversold? Will it come down in the medium term?
In other words, it probably will, but you've got no clue whatsoever when it's going to do that.
But the question being, to take money offshore now via rand hedge,
you're probably making a mistake.
Not in this kind of climate where you're getting the kind of volatility.
Look, the rand could go to 17, eh? Easy.
But
we know from past experiences that when it does what it's doing now, it does eventually come back. And surprisingly enough, come back relatively quickly if past experience is the right guide for future movements.
I think at the moment it's a hot topic. It's media are covering it, and all that they do is add fuel to the fire.
No, but when you hear of Venezuela collapsing and Argentinian currency going and every other emerging market in dire straits, what do you think the rand's going to do? And we don't help.
We don't do ourselves any favours. The panel's take on Renet and Zeda over the next 6 months. So Renet is a rand hedge
Zeda is Pioneer. Mainly it's made up of Pioneer, which has been under quite a lot of pressure.
I must say, the longer I'm in investments, the more I don't like these raw agricultural companies. There's too many things outside of your control. It's like Grindrod and shipping. No wonder they spun it off. There's just too many factors. Maybe resources. There's too many factors you have no control over.
The beauty with resources is that those resources are underground. If you're going to try to call the weather, you have absolutely no idea.
It's even worse. Or fishing. I mean, these things are it's terrible industries, these.
So why do these companies remain listed? Why are they on the stock exchange?
I don't know.
They're fine to be listed at the right price. So if you're going to buy them, like a construction company should be bought at 5, 6, and 7 multiples.
One
at the moment. but the same kind of thing with resource companies, because of the risks involved, should be at very low multiples.
Yeah, as I said, the longer I'm in investments, these raw agricultural fishing companies, low-cost airlines, hell, these are tough chicken, these are tough industries.
And Renet,
British American Tobacco with a few other investments, and you grind your teeth in impatience wondering
what they're going to do with those investments.
It is a very good rand hedge, but to be honest, you can buy British American Tobacco.
And also, I suppose you may be a little bit late now. Although British American Tobacco, where
hasn't
did it close today?
That much. Mm-hmm.
It's still in the 700-odd level.
Recall not that many months ago when the rand hit 1160, we discussed ad nauseum, now is the time to buy your rand hedge exposure because they've been knocked down on the back of the strong rand and the rand doesn't stay strong forever. It gets weak and far quicker than any of us anticipated. But you know, maybe now today is not the time to buy the rand hedges.
What about MTN? So the viewer who sent us a question on the entry level for the week, you're
a brave person.
Because it did actually bounce today. What did it close at?
It came up a few percent, but I mean, it's still 70 rand.
I feel desperately sorry because it looks like exactly what Rob said, that they are being targeted and that laws are being applied arbitrarily. And it doesn't matter what your agreements are, they can be reneged on at any stage, for any reason.
Effectively, Nigeria is making itself uninvestable.
The Nigerian authorities must be very careful. It might seem like an easy, soft target now, but any other investor who was thinking about going to Nigeria and they hear about this, they just say, just going to go somewhere else.
Yeah, it might be Africa.
You just hope that other African nations don't catch the same feeling as Nigeria and do the same kind of thing, and that's also a worry. But if you look at
it, it might be a short-term gain, but long-term, you kill yourself.
But $10 billion is far more than the market cap of...
Oh yeah, the MTN's not paying that.
I mean, MTN's market cap yesterday was, what, 135 billion rand. The fine was sort of 160 billion rand. The thing is, it's getting to the level, or it got to the level yesterday, where the Nigerian business was valued at close to nothing. Mm. So on that basis, do you come and bottom feed MTN?
Well, you still got Iran. and you still got problems in Turkey. You still got the problems with Turkcell.
You got a slumping SA economy, a sluggish, non-existent South African economy. So,
okay.
You know, what do you do? if you take an optimistic view, you'd buy it.
I don't know.
We're such merchants of cheer, are we not?
Yeah, you take an optimistic view that everything will work out eventually somehow. Then probably you would buy it, but that's probably too early. There's too much uncertainty in this Nigerian thing. I mean, MTN could call their bluff and just say, chaps, it's not worth us running this business. We're just going to walk away.
Yeah, but they walk away from the towers. They walk away from everyone. Everybody picks up the contract.
Well, the share price might go up.
Okay, so getting to stock picks this evening, I'm afraid you've become delinquent.
Yes, we haven't got any.
Because you have none. So is this? Are these the voices of wisdom speaking?
No, there's a more important occasion tonight. There we go. Our last evening together till you go off. So we decided we wouldn't do any stock picks and give you this little gift from David and I, the shine of our appreciation, and we hope you have a most wonderful time on your maternity.
Yes, I am pregnant, so I'm about to move off into the sunset.
This is thoughtful.
The tripartite alliance is breaking up for a few months.
For a while.
Thank you very much,
Wayne. It's a pleasure.
I don't know if I should open it now.
You can if you want to, or we can do it afterwards.
Yeah, too much rustling of papers, but thank you very much. I feel like I'm giving up one baby for another.
Yes, you're giving up two babies, yeah, for your own one.
Indeed, and I'm not sure I'm going to miss you both very much for the next few months, but thank you very much. Pleasure. And Simon and the crew are going to take over. So.
And yes. That's better than stock picks.
Yes, okay. Well, that's where we'll leave it. David Shapiro, of course, from Sasfin Securities, Wayne McCurry from F&B Wealth and Investments. And we'll be back with more of your stock-related questions tomorrow night. In the interim, have a good evening. Getting to stock picks this evening, I'm afraid you've become delinquent.
We haven't got any.
Because you have none. So is this? Are these the voices of wisdom speaking?
No, there's a more important occasion tonight. There we go. Our last evening together till you go off. So we decided we wouldn't do any stock picks and give you this little gift from David and I, the shine of our appreciation, and we hope you have a most wonderful time on your maternity.
Yes, I am pregnant, so I'm about to move off into the sunset.
This is thoughtful.
The tripartite alliance is breaking up for a few months.
For a while.
Thank you very much,
Wayne.
It's
a pleasure.
I don't know if I should open it now.
You can if you want to, or we can do it afterwards.
Yeah, too much rustling of papers, but thank you very much. I feel like I'm giving up one baby for another.
Yes, you're giving up two babies, yeah, for your own one.
Indeed, and I'm not sure I'm going to miss you both very much for the next few months, but thank you very much. And Simon and the crew are going to take over. So.
And yes. That's better than stock picks.
Yes, okay. Well, that's where we'll leave it. David Shapiro, of course, from Sasfin Securities, Wayne McCurry from F&B Wealth and Investments. And we'll be back with more of your stock-related questions tomorrow night. In the interim, have a good evening.